This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. We're here every week, and we talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and topical for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And I've been trying for a couple of months to get information and to talk to you about what I think is one of the most important and exciting projects going on right here under our nose, so to speak, in Western New York. And the future is real for the Central Terminal, which I think if you've lived here in Western New York for any length of time, you probably are shocked to find out that something is going on there, something big, and it's going to be a game changer, I think, for all of us in Western New York. So we're going to find out more about it, because today we're going to talk to Monica Pellegrino Fakes, and she is the chairman? Monica, help me out here. What's the right title? Executive Director.
Yes.
Wait, stop. I got it right here. Executive Director of the Central Terminal Restoration Corporation. And also with us is Ben Upshaw. And, okay, you're going to tell me. Project Director.
No. Managing Partner for C.B. Emanuel Realty.
Managing Partner for...
C.B. Emanuel Realty.
Okay, I'm going to find out what they have to do with it in a moment. Okay. So... So here we are, and we're going to get all this information about this project, which we've been hearing about and in the media. And if we live, like I said, if you live here, you're probably saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe something's really happening. Is everyone telling you that, Monica? I can't believe something's finally happening there.
Yes, they're saying it's about time, and I believed in this all along.
So what's happening? What kind of construction is happening at the Central Terminal?
Well, we have a lot of things happening. We have some major construction. We have secured a really strong development team, and Ben is one of the partners on that development team, and we have a lot of events and activities. One of the things that is going to be very visible soon is the construction work that will be starting. We have some significant funding that's coming through the state of New York and our philanthropic partners. And the state of New York funding is helping us to do some immediate stabilization and security work on the terminal. And the great news with that is it will allow us to reopen the doors in 2025, next year.
All right, so Ben is nodding when you said we're doing some construction, right? And that's you, right? That's your company?
Not directly. So C.B. Emanuel Realty is a real estate developer. And sometimes I think there's always needs to be the distinction between a developer and a general contractor for the layperson. A real estate developer is in charge of hiring architects, general contractors, environmental specialists. He's kind of the conductor. You think of that as the conductor. General contractor is strictly responsible for building or renovating a building. Has nothing to do with financing it. Has nothing to do with meeting with the community. Has nothing to do with overall plan of why something is being built. He's hired for one particular job. But a developer is more diverse in terms of what they're responsible for.
So explain what your responsibilities are.
Well, all of these ones that I just mentioned, plus a few other good things like this. C.B. Emanuel, Rise Community Capital, and the Alexander Company are acting as a developer for the project. Those are the other two organizations that will be working with C.B. Emanuel as well as CTRC to renovate the project. And similarly, kind of going through it, development is kind of composed of kind of three stages. That's kind of pre-development, construction and lease up, and then stabilization and ownership of the building. So during pre-development, we're working very closely with Monica and the Central Restoration Corporation to identify all issues, starting out with the scope of work that needs to be done. It's a vacant building. So you have to bring in professionals to identify what work needs to be done. Also, we have to work very closely with our partners at the city and state levels to make sure we secure all approvals that are going to be needed before we start construction. So those things deal with pilot agreements, which are payment in lieu of taxes, and you have to get into things like environmental approvals at the state and city level. You get into raising capital that's going to be needed to get you to the construction table. And then once you're through the pre-development phase, then you actually start construction. You've already hired a contractor at that point who in turn has hired subs that will work on the job. We as a developer have internal functions, so we have construction people on staff that oversee the general contractor and interface with the architect. Also, during that time of pre-development, we'll be entertaining offers to lease space. Some space may be pre-leased already, but we'll probably be interacting to lease space. And then finally, there's a closeout. So more lawyers and more accountants become involved, and they close the project out. So that's a kind of a quick and dirty version. But as you can see, the developer is there for the long haul. A general contractor, in contrast, is there for the construction. Construction starts, construction ends, they're gone. Development team is there for the pre-development phase through the life of the project of off time.
Have you done, has your company CB Emanuel mm-hmm. Realty been involved in any projects and before this, and like what kind?
Oh, sure. CB Emanuel Realty has been in existence since 2005. I'm a native of Buffalo, New York. I grew up on the east side. But most of my learning, graduate school, took place in New York City. I went to NYU, got a master's in real estate development. So we've developed close to 4,000 apartments across New York State. And in particular, we've done a number of historic rehabs in Western New York that would include Rochester, Niagara Falls, Buffalo, Cheektowaga. So we have been around in this field for a number of years. Our partners have also substantial experience. The Alexander Company has been in existence close to 30 years. Together, the development team has done similar projects across the country to the tune of over $2 billion worth of work. And we all have our kind of specializations. I am more of kind of the local voice and face representing the development team. Alexander Company has done a number of historical similar projects that are case studies for the Central Terminal. Rise Community Capital is a financial advisor, and they've done a number of incredible projects across the country. In particular, I would bring to people's attention Salt City Markets in Syracuse. They were instrumental in financing the National Comedy Center as well in Jamestown.
Oh, wow. That's amazing to me.
Yeah. So it's an amazing team.
Well, that is
diverse
amazing.
Strength and synergy to bring to the project.
Because that turned out to be successful and, mm-hmm. you know, world-renowned. That's a big project.
Yeah.
Monica, you probably, I don't know the answer to this because of your position. What's the historic significance? I need to know people to know, just in case they're not aware of what the Buffalo Central Terminal means here in Western New York.
The Central Terminal is a site that's on the National Register for Historic Places as a special place of Art Deco buildings of significance in transportation and because of the age of the building. So it's a very special place in terms of the historic significance, but we also consider it a very special place in people's hearts, and I like to call it the People's Palace because it's a place that people near and far in Western New York feel connected to. And our organization, the Central Terminal Restoration Corporation, we're a not-for-profit that took ownership of the building in 1997. So we've worked for many years to save the building and to keep it clean and safe and ready for development. And in recent years, we were able to really catapult the development by working on a plan with our neighbors for the future and identifying a set of standards for how we would want to see it developed as an economic and cultural hub and economic opportunity. And that's how we brought on the team that Ben is a part of with C.B. Emanuel and his partners, Rise Community Capital and the Alexander Group.
So now I guess the big question is, what are the plans? What are the planned uses that you have in mind for eventually, for after the restoration, for the Central Terminal? What's it going to be like? What's going to happen here, there?
I'll start generally and then hand it over to Ben. So one of the things that we learned in our planning process is that it really made sense to use this passenger concourse as a civic commons and events and activities inside and out, which we have already started to work on. And it can be many, many, many uses because it's such a big building. So there's opportunities for things like housing and the innovation sector and work cultural opportunities. And before I hand it over to Ben, I'll just say that every piece of the work that we're doing and every type of use also has other goals that are community connected so that we grow as an opportunity with our neighbors in Broadway, Fillmore, and in the broader East Side and in Buffalo and beyond.
Okay. Thanks, Monica. What I want to do is, in answering that question, I want to kind of first define the project, because when we think about the terminal, sometimes people just really think about the tower, and they don't think about all the components that we actually responded to. So there's about 16 acres that is currently owned by the city of Buffalo, and there's about 12 and a half acres or so that is under the control of the Central Terminal Restoration Corp. So it's a lot. The project is composed of different buildings on different parcels. So I want to start kind of, you can visualize the terminal where you have Memorial and Curtis Street, where the streets where the terminal kind of starts. That's defined as the Great Lawn. So on the Great Lawn, we're looking at a number of sustainable initiatives that are actually going to go on the Great Lawn. And that would be, we're investigating a geothermal field, green stormwater infrastructure, a place for family gathering. So that's important because geothermal technology is a way of heating buildings that is critical actually going into the future. Traditionally, we've always heated buildings with gas, electric, et cetera. But there are innovative ways to heat buildings using the heat from the earth as well as solar to heat and power buildings. So the Great Lawn, we've kind of thought about that taking place on the Great Lawn, some of that activity, but hidden below so that you can still enjoy the Great Lawn. So in the terminal itself, there's a terminal and there's a concourse. And the concourse is, as Monica mentioned, where we're looking for an entertainment space, restaurants, probably a food hall. And in the tower, that's what most people kind of think about. I think about the tower when I think about the terminal. We're also looking at event space there, residential, co-work space, and maybe some office space as well in the tower. Similarly, there is a mail and baggage building. The mail and baggage building is kind of a building to the side of the terminal that's often forgot about. So when people think about the terminal, they think about that iconic tower. But to the side of it, there's a mail and baggage building. And we're looking at education, early childhood education, and residential uses over there. There's a plaza level that's along Curtis Street. It's another kind of level that people don't really think about until you actually drive down Curtis. And Curtis has been abandoned as a street for a number of years. But that lends itself to something like light manufacturing or workforce development, as well as a place for studio artists. So that can be a number of different things that we're looking at along Curtis Street. And lastly, I won't go too much into this, there are platforms. A lot of people that took trains at the terminal. I was not one of them. It was closed when I was 10. I never had an opportunity to actually go into the building until this RFP. But there's a platform behind the terminal itself. So that's a prime opportunity to tie into what I said earlier about sustainable development, where we can do a solar array back there. And that solar array can be used to power the structures that are on the campus. So we're looking into to that aspect of it. But I think those are some of the uses that are anticipated and that we're excited to be offering in this proposal for the project.
I just want to interrupt in case you just tuned in today. You're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. And today we're talking about the exciting plans for the Buffalo Central Terminal. And Monica Pellegrino Fakes is here with us. And Ben.
Upshaw.
I'm so excited talking about the plans. I'm looking. There's Ben Upshaw. Ben, you know, when we were talking about all of this, and you mentioned that you're from this area, from the vicinity, from the area, from the east side originally, how is this going to, what do you think this is going to have affect the whole area, the whole neighborhood? What effect do you think it's going to have?
Well,
are you hoping for, I guess I should say?
Well, we want it to be a vibrant, year-round regional venue that represents the premier Buffalo experience when it comes to entertainment options, as well as providing housing, education, and workforce development and economic opportunities. So that says a lot. But when a lot of projects around Buffalo are undertaken, when they're of a large scale, you kind of have to break them up into chewable pieces. Like you can't have a 500,000 square feet of housing. You can't have a 500,000 square feet of office. You can't have a 500,000 square feet of entertainment. So what is interesting, challenging, and what we're enthusiastically pursuing is all of these different sources, because you're going to need public, private, philanthropic resources to make all of these things work. And the functionality of all of it has to tie well together. So many of the uses are distributed by building and structure and where they're at on the campus. So we're excited to continue to share this vision, and we're looking forward to making it like we've kind of defined it collectively as a regional venue for activity.
That's what I think why it's so important that we talk about this. And Monica, I know this has been your vision for a long time, that it would be a change maker on the east side.
Yes,
definitely. There's a real opportunity for the Central Terminal to be the long game of an economic opportunity, while there's also more immediate economic and social things happening within Buffalo and on the east side. We really see ourselves as piece of the larger puzzle of an economic opportunity. And like you said, we can't forget that we're so significant. We're also a city asset and a regional asset and even a national asset.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I obviously, when I came to live here a long time ago, but it wasn't. I've never used the terminal as a terminal or anything like that. But it's so familiar from all the films, every film that's been made in Western New York here, and there's been so many in the last couple of years. We just talked to Tim Clark here on Target last week. There's not one film practically that doesn't use the Central Terminal. You know that, right? It's just so iconic, right?
I was going to say, there's this movie, and it's called, I think it's Givers of Death, that recently was there, and it's featured so, it's on HBO. You don't have to
it
go
is?
Looking
oh, wait. I gotta
far
look for
from
that.
It, and it just features, it like the Central Terminal is like a third character. It really is. It's apocalyptic kind of, you know, Mad Max kind of era, and It's incredible how it's featured. It's scary how it's featured. it's imposing.
It's so iconic. And you kept talking about the tower, but the architecture and the structure of it. You mentioned this before, but we want to talk about the budget and the potential funding sources. Where is the money coming from, and where are you hoping the money will come from?
Right now, we have some significant funding that is a real starting point for us. So we have a funding that's coming through something called the Regional Revitalization Partnership, and it's a group of funders. That's New York State is a significant amount of that funding, and there's also philanthropic funders such as the Ralph C. Wilson Foundation. So what we're using that for is to get us started and to keep us going as an organization and to start making the building ready for the development team and for the kind of initiatives that Ben was talking about. Now, this is a project that will also need many, many other sources of funding. Some of them we know about, like historic tax credits, and some we are working together to try to fill a gap and to figure out how the other funding sources will come to be.
So, in addition, this project is near and dear to me for a lot of different reasons. It's almost like my dissertation in real estate. It's like everything I ever know is being thrown at this project. So the historic tax credits, you have new market tax credits. For every aspect of the project, you may have to have a what's called a pilot or a property tax agreement on how much your property taxes will be. That has to be figured out in advance when you put the financial package together. You have just every type of tax credit. And I think it's important, I guess, to emphasize that for every phase, each phase will be financed differently because it's a different use. So that adds to the complexity of the project, but it also means that by putting in that additional amount of work, because it's going to be a ton of work involved in this, that is, you're going to get a better product than if you just said all of this is going to be housing or all of this is going to be office. It's going to be chopped up in different phases and financed differently, but the heart of it will deal around tax credits or incentives.
And now, if are there events or anything happening that you can tell us about now or in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a great question. We are having a season of events that will start in May, and it will include summer concert series, a four-part summer concert series. It will include family-friendly movie nights. We are bringing back the car show. We'll have a series of fitness activities and a fall fest. All of our events are free. They're all happening out on the lawn. So we encourage people to just bike up, walk up, drive up, and you can look on our website, buffalocentralterminal.org. Our events will be listed there very soon.
And you said they're free, so, you know, you try. So the point is, it's being used even now to get people to become more aware of it, and that it's still a functional place, even though it's going to be, you know, so much better in the future.
Exactly. We wanted to continue events, even though we're doing them outside now, to really show some visible progress. And it's a show-stopping view and place to be for concerts and movies and all of our events.
Has it been used recently? I mean, in the last couple of years at all, like you're using it now?
We converted to doing outside events after a bit of a pause due to the pandemic and trying to understand some of the conditions of the building. We resumed doing events outside. We started last year. They were incredibly successful. We had people near and far coming for all the events, the music, the movie night. There was really a lot of joy in the air to be able to be at the terminal. So we took all the best parts of our events last year and ramped them up for an even better event season this year.
And if people would come now, did they see anything happening as far as, you know, for the future construction or, Can you tell when you go there, or just is it under the radar?
We've been doing a lot of work inside the building to understand the structural conditions of the building, and we are getting ready to do some of the outside work that people will see very visible soon. So one of the things people will see within the next month is some of the open windows will be reboarded up, and that's just an example of some of the activity that people will start to see outside with the construction, because we've been very busy inside.
Is there a time frame? Didn't want to ask you this until the end, but is there a time frame for everything, Ben, or not?
It's safe to say.
Not in my lifetime.
I was going to say it's not. We won't open next week. It's safe to say that. But there is a time frame. So in the next 2 to 3 years, we want the first phase to be under construction, and then subsequent phases will take anywhere from a year, year and a half or so. So in total, we're thinking there may be 3 to 4 phases. So when you start to do the math, 10 years will probably take for the whole thing to be completed, and potentially sooner.
But it will be incremental, which is interesting.
Yes.
So, you can see things happening as you go along, right?
Right. Right. The cost of everything nowadays is going up. So the cost to do the project is a lift that has to be dealt with on a kind of incremental basis.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us again how people can get more information? What's the website?
Yes, a few different ways. Our website is buffalocentralterminal.org. And we have information on our website. We also have a place to sign up for e-newsletters, and we're active on social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn.
So thank you both very much. Thank you, Monica Pellegrino Fakes and Ben Upshaw, for helping us understand what's going on in the future of the Central Terminal, which is so important to all of us here in Western New York. And thank you for listening, everybody. We hope you will join me again next week on Target. Have a good week, and bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.